And there again, because it can cry Abba Father, what is it crying Abba Father to? This is Romans. Who wrote it? Paul. Who is Paul? An apostle. Who was an apostle? A sent one. Who was a sent one? God in. So there's this two words I want us to remember along with the other one, and that's God in. God in, God in. The word recognizes God in, and then it goes to work with us. So here's something. This is, we've known and seen this for years, but it just kept coming up to me this week. It's from 1958, Faith is Our Victory. And he's talking about a man that comes to his yard that's a drifter, Brother Branham. And brother, he comes in, and Brother Branham makes him a sandwich and sets him down. Where are you from? No place. Where are you going? Nowhere. What are you doing? Just a drifter. And so he tries to talk to him, but there's nothing in there that responds. And he's talking to him, and he says, he ends this, but let me tell you something tonight. You that are on the outside of the building, you're going to wind up at a destination one of these days that's going to be called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. I would advise you at this hour to prepare to meet the God that you will meet in that hour. Listen to what he says here. You will either meet him as a masterpiece that he has worked on or a floating piece of driftwood to go into your final destination. Isn't that sort of alarming? Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to either meet him as a masterpiece that he has worked on. Well, what are we talking about in Hebrews? The whole book of Hebrews, actually the whole New Testament, is a people that see him and recognize him, and they allow, because of that, a channel is open and they are worked on. Here's the question. Is he working on us? Is he convicting us? Is he changing us? Is he bringing us higher? So we will either meet him as that masterpiece that he has worked on or a floating piece of driftwood. So with that, let's go into Hebrews 5. Would you stand with me? I'm going to read the whole chapter, but I'll just take the first few verses and you can sit down for text. Okay, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men and things pertaining to God, that he might offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on of them that are out of the way, that he himself is also compassed with infirmity. Kinsman redeemer, somebody that can relate. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer his sins. No man takes this honor to himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but that he said unto him, Thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. And he said in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Thanks. You may be seated. And I will continue the rest of the book, because who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, he was heard in that he feared. Okay, what is that speaking of? That's the Garden of Gethsemane, isn't it? And though he were a son, yet he learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. Mm-hmm. So there again is this mystery. Him who was without sin had to still be worked on. Yeah. It's the same as he says in chapter 2, verse 10, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect. What? He was perfect. Okay? But he had to be complete. So even the human part of him somehow had to be complete. If he had to be complete, how about me and you? 12 times he says he's going to complete the work of God in us. 12 different times. Okay, are you with me? It's a mystery, isn't it? I think the more I get, the more I try to understand Godhead, the more mysterious it is. You can't just put it in a little thing, okay, this is God, or this is the Son. You know, John chapter 1, you know, where the Word became flesh. God became flesh. Okay, so there's so many things you can't try to figure out with your mind, and you can't put labels on them. You just have to bow your head and say, Lord, you're God. And I have a canary brain, and as much as you can, just keep speaking to me, would you please? So here again, there's this whole idea of completion. There's a whole idea of a work that has to be done. And Brother Branham says we will meet him as a masterpiece that he has worked on. And that's the bride, because we're not driftwoods, and we're not going to be drifting along and be rejected. So that that is me, and that is you. And that was our Lord Jesus, and that was the prophet. And again, in 1965, in Knoweth It Not, when he's talking about what God had to do with him, and he did it through great pain and through great suffering, and he had to move him to that first man where the soul was in control. So why do we think we're different? Why do we think that we're an exception? Well, I'm bright, I don't have to be worked on. Well, I think you're deceived, because we all are being worked on all the time. So you look around again and look into the world and look at how many people around you, go into the workplace, go into the grocery store, go stop at the gas station. How many people have any God conscious at all? Because Romans 1 is fulfilled, they choose not to keep God in their conscience. Well, if they don't even keep God in their conscience, how is he going to work on them? How is he going to correct them and lead them and guide them and change them with transforming power of the Word of God, see? So here again, the whole idea is God in. Here's a man called, a man called Melchizedek, who is God in. And here's a high priest, and it has to be this way again. Okay. Though he were a son, verse 8, chapter 5, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered, and being made perfect, complete, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Could he not be the author of eternal salvation until that perfection, that completion was there? What was God doing? Again, it's a mystery. I don't have those answers. All I knew is I see it here. And the Word is perfect, correct? Okay, verse 10, called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say. So here's the Hebrews he was trying to bring from a past tense God to a present tense God that worked, that changed, that did things, that was going to complete something in them. And he says, you're still not far enough along where I can open this up to you. But here we are in this day where it has been, because the Word had to be fulfilled. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. Help us, Lord, right? For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even of to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Okay. So here we are again. Look at these, what he's saying here. Verse 1. There's a man. He's a high priest, taken from among men. Number 2. He's ordained for men. Number 3, in things pertaining to God. Number 4, who can have compassion. So there has to be something that can relate to somebody in the human condition that God is working to change, to complete. Next, no man takes this honor to himself. Nobody just says, oh, I'll do that. It has to be called of God. Then our priest is after the order of Melchizedek, period, and of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered. Now, here we are in this day. What did I do with it? Oh, there it is. My Melchizedek message. Man, I love this. This is still one of the most outstanding messages. It's part of the third pull. It has to be. Seventh seal. When he begins this, he prays and he said, now, here is another revelation on the message after the seals are open, right? At the end, who's this Melchizedek? Who's this Melchizedek? Who's here? What's going on? Can you recognize eternal life when it is manifested before your nose? So he said, now look at them here in Sodom, and they're in their messengers down in there speaking to them, but then there's a royal seat of Abraham. Where is their sign that said, as it was in the days of Sodom, that God came down and was manifested in human flesh, told what Sarah was thinking back in her heart in the tent behind him, and the last sign before the Gentile world was destroyed by fire, and the church has got its last sign before the whole world's going to be destroyed, the Gentile kingdom be destroyed by the fire and wrath of God. Do you believe that? That Melchizedek was flesh, represented himself in a human body, and then later he was made flesh, and now today he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you believe it? Who is this Melchizedek then that's the same yesterday? Never had no father, never had no mother, never had no beginning of days, never had any end of life, and he met Abraham, and what kind of a sign did he perform? Then when he was made flesh, he said it would repeat again here at the end time. Here it is. Who is this Melchizedek for us today? Who is recognized? Why is it important? Because it opens up a channel between you and your high priest for the high priest to do something in you. You with me? When you recognize God, that sight, the identification of eternal life manifested before you is amazing. And when you recognize that, a channel is opened from that eternal life coming down to your mortal life to change you into eternal life image. You with me? Okay, it's the only way it can happen. Now, he says, later on, he says, you know, after they're gone, they see them, he's talking about always rejected. After the prophets, after they're gone, they see their mistake. Then he makes this terribly tragic statement that's always caught me. He says, they always persecute you, Lord, in whatever form you come in. Isn't that sad? They always persecute you, Lord, in whatever form you come in. So, here we go. God's man for men, God in his man for men. Now, it's a fact that the high priest of the new covenant is our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not Brother Branham. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, period, and cannot be any other. It is also a fact, according to the word we just read, that this Jesus, our high priest, is not just a high priest. He always is referred to after the order of Melchizedek. Okay? Why is that important? Because only this high priesthood was God stepping into a theophany of flesh and manifested in a human body. Our high priest, our Jesus, is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Tells you right there in the book of Hebrews, points to this day, doesn't it? Okay, Melchizedek was that God stepping into a created body, a theophany, that looked like, that sounded like, that felt like a human being. So here's a human being. Who else saw him? When others saw him, what did they say? Oh, there's Melchizedek, king of Jerusalem. What did Abraham see that was different? Abraham saw something in him. He saw eternal life identified, right? He was the only one that could tell the difference. When everybody else saw him, that was the king of Jerusalem, a man. Only Abraham saw the difference. Are you with me there? Only Abraham could tell the difference. Only God's covenant holder. How do we know this? Is the fact that Abraham gave Melchizedek tithes of all that he had. He knew what was there. He knew what was before him. So, I got some 5 questions for you. Now, why, number one, is Melchizedek mentioned so many times here in the letter to the Hebrews? How many times? Number two, how many times is Melchizedek mentioned in the other books of the New Testament? David? Ron? Albert? Pete? 0. Not interesting? It's the only place he's mentioned. So, 0. Okay, next question. How many times is he mentioned in this letter to the Hebrews? 9. Isn't that interesting? And all of these 9 times, he's spoken of in only 3 chapters. Look at your numbers here. 3, 9. 9, 3, 3 is completion, right? Okay. Yeah. How many times is perfection now? 12 times. Isn't that interesting? Complete. Okay. How many times is it mentioned in this letter 9 and is spoken of all 3 chapters, only in chapters 5 and 6 and 7? Number 4. Why is this not mentioned in any other book in the New Testament? Why is it only mentioned so many times to these Hebrews? What did they need to know about Melchizedek? Why is this revelation so necessary for the Jews? So, I think the answer is pretty obvious in the history of Israel. And in seeing this, we also see the subtlety of the devil, because we're going to see another side of this. For all of Israel, their major problem was not recognizing, quote, God in. They could never see it. Now, which, Jesus said, of the prophets did they not kill? Right? Which prophet's message was received by more than 1 or 2 people? It was their failure to recognize and therefore listen to God's man for men that caused them to suffer the defeat from all their enemies over and over and over and over. So here is the high priest to the Jews, God present tense, God working, God doing, God finishing, God completing something in each one of you. And he's not a God over a nation. He's a God over you personally. Starting at chapter 2, okay, where he becomes our intercessor. He knows what you're going through. He's here to comfort you, to succor you, to help you. And here's God's man for men. Now, you with me? So here to these Hebrews, they had to understand, hey, you of all people on the earth, you guys should know this. You guys should be aware. How many times were prophets sent to you and you didn't recognize it? Okay, in this last days, the Son of God was sent to you and you didn't recognize it. They were blinded. They had to be. But now he's opening their eyes to see what happened. But what is so interesting is that the enemy and the heathen, go with me to Acts chapter 14. You all know exactly where I'm going, don't you? And it's, look at the heathen. It's no big deal to them. They see it so easily. Yeah. But not the Jews. Acts 14. Let's start with verse 8. Okay. Here is Paul. And he's in Iconium, and then I think they've had to flee in verse 6 unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia. Okay, and here's where he sees a blind man or a lame man, and he's healed. Okay, and there sat certain men at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him perceived that he had faith to be healed. Oh, you guys, how about words with wings? Huh? Look at the power of those words and what happened into that body. Said with a loud voice, stand upon thy feet, and he leaped and walked. Is that words with wings? Huh? My goodness, is that words of transforming power? Is that words that defy science? Huh? Look at it, the word of God and the power of it. Okay, and when look at this. 11, would you read it out loud with me? And when the people saw that Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, the gods are come down in the likeness of men. Yeah. Really? Jews? Here's the heathen. Oh, yeah, God comes down in flesh, you know. You see it all the time, demigods and gods, and here's, you know, they even made Caesar a god, right? Isn't that interesting? And God's own people that he sent prophet after prophet after prophet, God in after God in after God in, and they kill them all. This just blows me away. Oh, look, the gods have come down in the likeness of men. Oh, yeah. And here it's the most hated thing in the world. What's fought more than anything else in this last day besides this message? What's more repulsive than someone to say God is in me? And remember what they say. When you say I and the Father are one, the shuck pulls away. Right? Don't you dare come and say so. Hey, Pete, go to work and say, I'm a son of God. See what kind of a reaction you get. See how welcomed you become, right? Yeah, they can't stand it. So this is, here's these heathen. Oh, yeah, look, oh, man, this is God's coming up. Okay, verse 12. And they called Barnabas what? And Paul Mercurius. Because he was the chief speaker, and the priest of Jupiter, that which was before their city, brought oxen. And look at this. They're serious. This is really, our gods come down and they're here. They're here because this is evident that this has to be something superhuman, supernatural. This is not man. This is God. Only God can do things like this. And look at our gods have come down. That make you weep? And the Jews, oh, hey, who do you think you are? You did this on the Sabbath. Let's stone him. What a contrast, huh? My goodness. Okay, verse 13. And the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates and would have done what?
Sacrifice.
To who? Before whom? Paul. And yeah, Paul and Barnabas. Goodness sakes. Which when the apostles of Barnabas and Paul heard, they rent their clothes and ran among the people crying, saying, sirs, why do you do these things? We are all men of passions with you and preach unto you that you should turn from vanities unto the living God. Yeah. Which makes heaven and earth and sea and the things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without a witness in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling your hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, read it out loud, verse 18. And with these sayings, scarce restrained the people that they had not done sacrifice to them. Oh, come on, you guys. The heathens see, oh, this is God. Oh, this is God come down. And God's chosen people say, oh, stone him. Oh, kill him. Oh, who does he think he is? Oh, he's a blasphemer, right? It's mind-boggling. So are you understanding now why Paul, writing a letter to the Hebrews, has to over and over and over, there's a high priest. It has to be after the order of Melchizedek. It's all making sense now, isn't it? Isn't it interesting that the heathen can understand something that is totally repulsive to the Jews? And why would it be totally repulsive? From the beginning of time, God and his prophets. Okay, how about the modern Christian today? How about this day? How about this time? God in man is fine. They can take that. True or not true? Oh, wonderful David Jeremiah. As long as God in is okay, as long as it's a charismatic anointing. And tell me that's not what all the full gospel business people thought of the William Branham. Oh, that's just an anointing. Well, he's anointed, and so is Oral Roberts. And so is Tommy Hicks and A.A. Allen and all the rest of them. They're anointing. Well, I like to listen to Tommy, and I like to listen to A.A. Allen, and I like to listen to Oral Roberts, and I like to listen, but I can go home and say, oh, forget about it. That was a nice sermon, and that's as far as it goes. Right? In other words, they can take God in. Oh, yeah, God's an oral. Oh, yeah, yeah, God was there today. As long as it's in a charismatic anointing that can be taken or left at the discretion of the hearer. Mm-hmm. True or not true? God in, again, is okay as long as it is in a ministry that confirms what we already know is truth. Yeah. Okay, I have this thing. I think I sent this out already. There's a little man sitting in front of a painted fire. I sent it to you. I said, most people don't want truth. All they want is a confirmation of what they believe is truth. Is that true or not? Yeah. That's man without God in him. Yeah, God is fine as long as it doesn't interfere with the religious ways in which we feel comfortable. True or not true? God in is great as long as we are not told to repent. True? God in is as acceptable as long as we're not told that our ways are wicked. God of this evil age, anointed ones at the end time. Was he hated? Are all prophets hated? Yeah. God in is tolerable if that man that claims that God is in him doesn't make himself to be anything more than the other ministries around him. Don't you dare do that. True or not true? So in all of this, we can see the enemy's tactics fighting against the vindicated word of the hour. So it is this Melchizedek priest, okay? We find a mystery that had to be revealed, and we know it was revealed by our prophet William Branham. And what is the essence of the mystery, Melchizedek mystery? It is eternal life is identified in the form of uneternal life. Interesting, huh? Eternal life is identified in the form of uneternal life form, that of human flesh. This is a great revelation to us and for us today. This is Christ, the mystery of God is revealed. Think of this, eternal life identified in the form of human body. When God calls a man and says, I'm going to use your body, the man has nothing to say. Remember Moses, I'm going to use you. You're going to speak. I can't speak. Shut up. Who made your mouth? Right? Yeah. So here's a little man, a little boy, excuse me, and he's, what, how old is Brother Branham under the tree there? When he's 2 years old or something? Don't smoke or drink or defile your body in any way. 7 years old? Or I have a work to do. And how many times did he try to take a cigarette? How many times did he try to smoke? What happened? And here's the great mystery. Did God coddle him?
No.
Did he give him an attaboy? He said, oh, poor Paul. Poor brother, poor Billy. No. Never. Isn't that amazing? Would you do that to your son? Nate? None of us would we? Here, let me take you on my lap. Let me hold you. Let me help you understand what's going on. Right? Yeah, the ways of God are so phenomenal, and yet he's perfect. I'm always amazed again at the age of 16. I think it was when he showed him first the regions of the lost. How old was he when he saw beyond the curtain of time and saw the regions of the blessed? Why was the lost first? Is it because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom? Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. People don't like to even mention those words, fear of the Lord, but look at, in God's economy, was it critical? Was it important? Yeah. So God's man for men is at the expense and sacrifice of the man used by God, always. Even as Hebrews 5:9 and says, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. Now, last week, again, we looked at the word perfect, perfected, perfection, and saw that it meant to be complete, to be finished. And today we're going to look further and to see the program of God to use God in man for men. From the Message, masterpiece. Now, for nearly 2,000 years, God has been making him a masterpiece because he struck Adam to get a piece off of him, part of him, a rib to make a wife for him. And now that perfect masterpiece that he struck at Calvary, he got a piece off of him. It's just the New Testament. That's all. He fulfilled the Old Testament. Now it's the New Testament, another piece to be fulfilled. And the new and old is husband and wife. The old to foreshadow the new. Christ come, the masterpiece to fulfill that. Now his bride will fulfill everything that's in the New Testament. All right. See, we go over these quotes. Have you heard that before? Ron, have you fulfilled everything that's in the New Testament? Mm-hmm. Greg, have you? Okay. Where are we? Are these real to us, or is it just sort of a religious exercise? Oh, yeah, I know that quote. Where is it that I take it personally to myself and say, I'm going to fulfill everything that's in the New Testament? Another masterpiece is in the making. In other words, remember what we just read earlier this morning. You will either meet him as a masterpiece that he has worked on. So we are all a work in progress, right? Okay, so that's what the bride is going to be. Has it taken him 4,000 years to make this masterpiece? Now he's been nearly 2,000 years making another one, a bride for Christ, another piece. In so doing, he does it by his never-changing method. Now there it is. What's his never-changing method? God in. The same way he made the masterpiece, okay, his word, and that's the way he makes his masterpieces, because they can only be a perfect masterpiece when it's a perfect word. Now, notice here, the life. What are we talking about? God in man for men. What does the believer see? They see God in. What do they are seeing? What did Abraham see? Why is it Melchizedek? Why did it have to be Melchizedek to the Jews? Because they could never see it. They could never see eternal life in. They only saw the life that was there. John the Baptist, how repulsive. Uh-huh. All of the prophets, they never did. Only one or two. So what are we talking about? God's seed recognizes eternal life in. Amen. Okay. Now notice here the life that was in the husk, in the stalk, in the tassel, in the husk, all gathers in the seed. And the life that was in the stalk went, one went to make another. Justification made a way for sanctification. Sanctification made a way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost made a way for the Holy Ghost itself to come right down in perfection back to the Word again, to manifest itself, to manifest itself, to manifest itself, God in. Watch the life. You hear me? Why did it have to be, who is this Melchizedek? And only in the book of Hebrews, only to the Hebrews, because they never did see it. Watch the life. The life is traveling on now. It's moving. Why must the bridegroom and the word be the word manifested, made plain? It's because the bride and the bridegroom are one. She is just a smitten piece off of him. There's the masterpiece. Michelangelo could not produce that again. Okay? He could not put it back. But God's going to. He's going to do it. He's going to bring this little bride that's smitten right back to the site of the original word. And there he is. There is the masterpiece. The family began in the Garden of Eden. How is this bride going to do it? Okay, there's the question. How is this bride going to do it? How is this wheat going to do this? Malachi 4 said, in the last days it would be restored back. Restored back like the beginning, take it back. I will restore, saith the Lord, all the years that the palmer worm, canker worm, all these other things I will restore again. Malachi 4 said he will restore the hearts of the people and the faith of the people and back to the original fathers again. See? We see this. We see this. We see this before us, church. Where are we at? What do we see? God in. What do we see? God fulfilling his word. What do we see? Eternal life. And we hear the words of eternal life through a vessel of eternal life, God in. What did others see of Melchizedek? Who knows? What did God see of Abraham see of Melchizedek? He recognized. He gave him tithes of all that he had. Are you with me? All right, and it's late, and I got so many more to go, but I'm going to just do one scripture and to go into what he says in the quotes, a masterpiece. How does he do it? How does God, through Melchizedek, the Lord Jesus Christ, how does this all happen? Where does this all line up in the scripture, the masterpiece and everything that he's doing? Turn with me to Colossians, please. And I'm going to leave you wondering a little bit because I'm not going to finish it. But this scripture, this has been sitting on the back burner of my mind for years. I've looked at this, didn't know what to do with it, didn't understand it, confused by it, in awe by it, until right now, and all of a sudden, here it is. So after all these years, he said, this is why I showed it to you. Colossians chapter 2. You with me? Okay. Let's read 11 and 12. In whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Oh, we have so much to go. We're coming back to here. We're going to take it verse by verse. But I'm going to this verse, verse 12. Buried with him in baptism. Mm-hmm. We understand that?
Yep.
Wherein also you are risen with him. Do you understand that?
Yep.
Here's how we're risen. What's the next word? Through. Through what?
Faith.
The faith of what? All right. Are you scratching your head yet? So I'm risen with Christ, but I'm risen through faith. I'm risen with Christ because something is placed inside me. Something's going on through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Okay. I'll just go a little bit. Now, this scripture can be confusing and even, as it was to me, bewildering because it was referring to an act of your faith, present tense, being infused in one with the past tense act of our Lord. And there has to be an element of election or predestination here because something is placed in the believer that connects you in a very literal way to the power of God that worked in his resurrection. Okay, let's read. You are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. When you were born again, when you came to the Lord, how many of you, when you were baptized, recognized that you were baptized into his death? When you were baptized mostly as just young believers, most of us, we were just repentant and giving our life to the Lord. How much revelation did you have? Huh? Yeah, none. Most of us come to babes in Christ, come out of a world, come to repent, say, I'm going to give my life to the Lord. Okay, the next step is you must be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, right? Were you full of revelation? Did you realize that you were baptized into his death? I wasn't. Where did that come? How did it come? So that now he's saying that because I'm buried with him in baptism, so there was something in actual that took place even though I didn't know it was taking place, that I was baptized into his death even though I wasn't aware of it at the time, because the word is true. Romans 6 also. Is that true or not true? So God is doing something in another dimension that is going on here in this dimension. Isn't that the whole message of things that are to be? Isn't that the mystery of the translation of the bride? Word upon word, cell upon cell. Hey, how is the bride going to be translated? Yeah. So here it again, something is happening in another dimension, but we are risen with him through faith of the operation of God. Something is placed in the believer that connects you in a very literal way to the power of God that worked his resurrection. Now, looking at this presents a question here, and that is, what did revelation did we have in the operation of God when we were baptized into his death? Okay. What did I know about the operation of God? I'm going to just read this and I'll finish, okay? The word operation in the Greek here is the word energy, or the Greek word is E-N-E-R-G-E-I-A, energia. The Strong defines it as efficiency, operation, strong, and Thayer defines it as working efficiency. Then also adds the fact that the New Testament is used only as superhuman power, either of God or the enemy, either one. Now, so what we're going to see here, here's the whole purpose of going into this. Where is God's superhuman energy? Where does it display itself and where is it identified? And how is that some are given to see this faith and perceive where God places his energy and be risen with Christ through this? Oh, yeah. Josh has given me that look. I understand. Because I had to take this word by word, Josh, and I'm pondering this and pondering this. And I'm afraid this can get a little wordy or thick. But if you've noticed, King James does that really well anyway, doesn't it? We can get lost in words, and pretty soon you read, by the time you're at the end of the sentence, you say, I don't have a clue what he said. You've been there?
Yeah.
Okay, here's my point. Let me simplify it. What we're looking at is that the bride of Christ sees and recognizes eternal life. Abraham looked at a man, okay, might have had dust on his clothes. Other people looked at men. They might have smelled bad prophets. Look at how Brother Brandon describes John the Baptist. Okay, maybe some Beetlejuice running down his beard from his mouth, you know. Probably didn't have deodorant in those days. Maybe it's been a while since he's taken a bath, and here he is. Repent, you snakes in the grass. Right? And yet some people were drawn. They didn't know what was in them drawing them to that. They could not explain it for 1,000 words. They couldn't explain it, but something inside of them connected with something that they heard in a word. Okay? So here is Melchizedek. Here is God's man. Here is the mystery of what's going on in this day. Something in your heart connects you to something that other people are repulsed by, and you cannot explain it. and something that they see, and they look at this person and they see a man. They see humanism. They see dirt. They smell dirt. They see unkempt hair. They see unruly beard. They see this. They see that. And this man sees God. Isn't that awesome? So here is this mystery of us, that we recognize eternal life when it's made, when it comes to identify itself in flesh. Now, there can be a lot of life around. And I'm always amazed in the book of Revelation, if you go there with me, I'll read it. Because in the Ephesian church age, I think it's Revelation 3, isn't it? 2. Church of Ephesus. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in amidst the seven golden candles. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience. Look what it says. You cannot bear them that are evil. And he commends them for that. Okay? Something that the church has lost and is there for their protection, but they don't know it. Now they just accept anything. You're not supposed to accept anything. You're supposed to have discerning spirits that know what is from God. Look at what he says. You cannot bear them that are evil, and has tried them that say they are apostles. What's an apostle? A man sent from God. A sent one. So here's these men came and say, God sent me. And they say, no, you didn't. And there's warfare right there, and there's discomfort, and there's conflict, and people don't like conflict. But here is this place in the first church age that they recognized when they saw God and when they didn't. They knew when God was presented before them. They knew that they could identify eternal life in human flesh, and then they could recognize when somebody said this was eternal life in God and wasn't. You with me? When we need that again, and the church needs that again. Look at what it says, which say they are apostles and are not. They're not sent, and you found them to be liars. Now, where would you walk up to a ministry in this day and say, you're a liar, not sent from God? Huh? How to lose friends and make enemies, right? Oh, you're not supposed to do that. Oh, that's not nice. It was nice to them. God liked it. So here again is the whole precept. It is in the seed of God to recognize his eternal life when he presents it. And he comes among them in their presence. He said, there's something there. I don't understand it, but there's something there. Can I intellectualize it? No. Can I explain it? Not necessarily. But there's just something there. There's something in those words. There's something in what he says, just like the disciples who became apostles were to Jesus. Who do men say that I am? Thou art the Christ. Only one said that. The rest of them said it later. They all had died with that. They all gave their life for that. But they could recognize something that nobody else could recognize. And here it is in this day. And here I'm going into the scripture to say, there's a place where God puts his energy. That's 2:12. There's a place, and something inside of me connects by faith. I can see where God is putting in his energy. Does that simplify it at all, Josh? A little? The seed of God recognizes where God is putting his energy, his life in, and they can recognize that. Okay, then we'll go into that. We'll go into that next week. Okay, musicians. You can go back on 2:12 and ponder that for a few months. Oh, Derek, it'll take 2 minutes. He'll have it all out. Love you, Brother Derek. Do you love him?
Amen.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing? The elect see where God puts his energy, where he puts his life, and the rest can't. You know what? It's just so amazing. You mentioned the name William Branham around this day, and it's repulsive to people. You're following a man. We don't follow men. Oh, don't you? Did your pastor go to seminary? Huh? Was your pastor, could not be a pastor until he did go to seminary? Which seminary did he go to? Well, he went to this one, that one. Why? Because that's the way we believe. Why? So he could listen to men that tell you what you already believe. Right or wrong? But we certainly won't listen to that. All right. Wings of Faith, how about that? Let's stand up. This is for Derek. Derek, let's rise up on the wings of faith. Those beautiful words of God that have wings that carry into places that are overcoming all of the world, overcoming all the cares of this life. That's the words of our God. The words of our God hold wings. Okay. There are two roads you may take. Take the word of God, what you see. Amen. Is hallelujah. So set your wings on winds of faith. Amen. And that's the truth. Do not struggle. It's by grace. Set your wings to the winds of faith. What's your cry? What's your mountain that's much too high? The word of God, on what am I? For you will fly, so set your wings. Do not struggle, it's by faith. set your wings on the winds of faith. Don't you love him? Let me ask you a question. Was 1973 first learned about this message? The very first tape that I listened to was from a set that Brother Perry Green brought up was Indictment. That answered all the questions of my heart. God knew exactly what to do, to put in my hands the things that I struggled all my whole life and thought I was crazy, couldn't understand. We all started talking as young, tiny believers coming to Jesus. The only thing we knew as young believers is the Bible is true and Jesus is Lord. And it wasn't in denominations. All of us, for some reason, had that revelation. Started to talk with a prophet, say you have to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And some were saying, well, the Bible says this, and something inside of me spoke that day as a new young believer, somebody's wrong, and I believe I know who it would be. Listen to this voice. I love this message, but something in the last years, brothers and sisters, something even in the last year, something in the last month, something that just continually takes place. I don't just love it, I'm in love with it. I'm in love with my Lord, because we see Jesus Christ today revealed who he is and what he is. And I love what he is. And I love what he does. And I love what he says. And I pray with every one of us that what we're feeding on the Son of Man ministry, William Branham had nothing to do with it. He says, I was just standing there when he came down. Wasn't my choice. I would have rather been a trapper. God says, I'm going to use you. Like Moses, can't you use somebody else? He says, mind your own business. I'll mind mine. Right? God chooses whom he wants. And what we are seeing, we are seeing only because it is our God saying, you are becoming, right? You cannot become something until you see that it's there for you to become. So he's opened our eyes constantly to more of him, to become the fullness of him. Don't you love him? There's something going on in the spiritual realm that is so precious. There's some place that he's taken us. As I said, this isn't church. This isn't churchianity. This is a journey. And oh, what a journey it is. Oh, what a walk. And we're walking in those words that have wings that help us fly above all our troubles, above the cares of this world, above the trials of this world. And those words have wings that carry us into the presence of Almighty God. It says, all things are possible. All things. Even me becoming him. Isn't that beautiful? Do you love him? Brother Albert, would you come up and close today? So blessed to have our brother and sister here from Newfoundland. I love them. I'm just thankful that we have this fellowship time together. Yeah, that's about right.
gracious Heavenly Father. Lord, we're so glad this morning, Father, that we can gather around your word. Lord, that bread of life.
Amen.
That eagle food.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, we thank you for the eagles gathered this morning. Lord, to feast and dine with the King. Mm-hmm. Lord, thou art our God. There's none beside thee.
Amen.
And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you has put within our heart,
thank you,
Lord,
Jesus,
that divine revelation. Lord, we could not receive it of man. But Father, you sent the Holy Spirit, Lord, to every elected seed. Lord, and now, Father, we are to manifest the sons of God. Lord, in this day, Lord, though the world look upon us, rejected, but yet, Lord, we are highly favored. Lord, to be able to gather around, Lord, and feast on that manna, Lord, that you has provided, Lord, by the message that you sent. Lord, we know, Father, we're getting ready, Lord, for the change. Lord, and Father, to come up to your house, Lord, your kingdom, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Lord, we're so glad, Lord, that you has given us, Lord, that promise, Lord, that true redemption, true Christ, Lord, who is our high priest. Lord, we bow before you, we honor you, and Lord, we just want to give you all the glory and praise, for thou art worthy. Lord, bless the saints here this morning. Lord, those that have needs. Lord, thou art the captain of our salvation. Lord, thou art our healer, our deliverer. Lord, our conqueror, you are all in all. Father, minister to each need. Lord, that your people might be lifted up, strengthened, and Lord, by faith that we'll press on, fight the fight of faith, Lord, knowing that we are conquerors. True Christ, Lord, you who has conquered for us, Lord, we rejoice in our afflictions, knowing, Father, that, Lord, there's nothing happens but you knows, Lord, and you cares, and Lord, you gives us, Lord, power over the enemy, Lord, that we might, Lord, come out victorious. Lord, we ask now you bless our brother Don, Lord, as he's labored. Lord, we know, Father, Lord, you, Lord, can send a true anointing. Lord, and we look beyond the flesh. Lord, we know, Father, man can do nothing for us. Lord, vain is the help of man. But, Lord, the quickening power of the Holy Ghost. Lord, we just thank you now, Lord, that we can rejoice in your presence. Uplift and glorify your name for all that you have done. Go with us, and, Lord, continue to give us divine revelation. Keep our hearts and minds stayed upon thy word, Lord. Not the letter, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And Lord, we thank you from the very depths of our heart. Go with us now and cover us with your blood. We just give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
And amen. Amen. God bless you.